All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf in Beitza, daf Lamed. We're on the very bottom of Chaf Tesamad Aleph. We're just a couple lines away from finishing up the parak. We'll start the new parak today. It's Hashem. And let's go. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zech Nishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. And we are on the bottom of the Yama discussing various issues of Kavod Yontov. Just things that are specifically designed to become yontif appropriate. So the Mishnah discussed the issue of measuring on yontif. We learned at the end of the Masechta Shabbos that you're not allowed to measure on Shabbos or on yontif. So measurement, generally speaking, is forbidden. On the other hand, you need to measure on yontif because you have to cook. So you're going to prepare a dish, and you have the recipe to follow, and it calls for a cup of sugar. And so how do you do it? How do you go about it? So that's what we discussed yesterday. We talked about measuring in terms of a transaction, meaning you go to the owner and you ask him, "Hey, could you please sell me a quart of oil?" So a quart of oil, a liter of oil. So again, so how are you gonna do that transaction without the actual act of measuring? That was our discussion yesterday. The issue, just to quickly wrap up or summarize what we said yesterday. So the Mishnah had a machlok between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, we know, was more machmir. That we know. The Tanakama's position is really not that clear in the Mishnah. The Tanakama says that you could say, as long as you all go over to the seller and you say to the seller, you can give me a cupful, meaning I don't mean the measurement a cup, but give me a cupful, but you're not allowed to actually state avalo bemida. That's the language of the Mishnah. What exactly does that mean? So as we saw yesterday, there were two opinions in the Gemara amongst the Amoraim. There's Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, and then there was Rav. Rav Yehuda Mashmuel says that if this was a measuring cup that was already used as a measuring cup, that you can't use. But if it's a measuring cup that's never been used yet as a measuring cup, that you're allowed to use. That was one explanation. And the second explanation given yesterday was Rava, and Rava says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is as follows. You can hand over a measuring cup, and you can even say, fill her up. You can't actually mention the measurement by name. That's how Rava understands the Tanakhama. That's how it's brought down in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, so you can say, fill her up. You just can't simply, you cannot say what exactly the measurement is. Okay, good. Then we went on, we talked about the Mitzui Hamidos and the Berurei Hamidos. When you're pouring, when sellers pouring for the buyer, so if it's a liquid and it's a fermented liquid like wine, like beer, so it's going to create a foam on top. So even though I'm buying a whole quart worth, but nevertheless, the top is always going to be a little bit foamy, and there's always going to be a little bit missing. So Abba Bar Bitnis of our Mishnah tried to avoid that, and the way he tried to avoid that is by pouring the night prior. You pour the night prior, so that means it gives it the night to settle down, so that way you'll be able to sell a full quart of wine, of whatever drink he was selling. Nevertheless, the Gemara pointed out yesterday, he still had 300 barrels of excess that he collected from the Berurei Hamidos. And as we pointed out yesterday, he obviously tried to sell the full amount, but nevertheless, he had a little bit of extra, a little bit, 300 barrels. So the... I don't know. And 300 barrels usually is a guzma, right? We point this out, how 300... sometimes in the Gemara serves as a guzma. Okay, but he had extra. Point is, he had extra. And so what did he do with it? So that's where we ended off yesterday. So what we did with it yesterday is he tried to give it to Hektish. Hektish like, we're not taking it. Hektish was worried that it's a Davishena Shalom and it can't be Makdishit, or as Rashi points out, it's a Davar Guzl and that doesn't work as a carbon. So Hektish refused to take it. So the Gemara says, look, you're kind of stuck. I don't want it, and Hektish doesn't want to take it from me. Gemara says, what do I do with it? Sarche rabim. So what you do with it is public use. Make public use out of it. So give it for the Gemara, give the example of Baron Shechon Amaros. Give it for water supply, meaning make pits in the public walkways. Basically, what's it called? The water fountains. Okay. Do something good for the public. Make a park. Okay. Going on in the Gemara. We are now on the bottom of Chav Tes Amin Aleph. We're continuing in the Gemara. We're four lines from the very bottom. Don't measure the barley to give to your animal on Yantav. But what you could do, Koder, so Rashi says, Bekav Atzmo, using the actual measurement itself, Meaning, you want to fill it up with the measuring cup, that's okay. To pour it in the measuring cup to measure, that you can't do. But to fill it up with the measuring cup and to put it in front of the animal, that would be fine. In terms of the nachtam, now Rashi says, I know nachtam generally speaking means a baker, but over here that's not what we're talking about. Rashi says, yeah, a cook. So nachtam mivashel kederos namikari nachtam. Rashi says that you could be cooking food in a pot and you're also called a nachtam, a chef. So again, the chef also should measure his spices so that the doesn't get ruined. Okay. A woman, when she's baking her dough, when she's making her dough on Yantiv, so she should measure. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why. Again, I know on general you're not allowed to measure. And as that's been our discussion since the Mishnah. But the woman, when making her dough, she should measure. Aside from the fact that you want to know how much it is so that the dough comes out good and the bread comes out good, but you have another consideration as well, which is challah. She's going to take off a portion, give it over to the Kohen. How much you give to the Kohen? So Rashi says you give a 24th. 1/24th, approximately 4% of the dough you take off in order to give to the Kohen. Well, that'd be very good if you know what the original was. Meaning you can only work in fractions if you know what the original was. So you have to know exactly how much flour went in order to know how much to take off to give to the Kohen. So fine. So again, another reason why it would be okay to measure on Yantav. Ushmul Amar Asar. Now Shmuel says, no, you can't do it. In other words, you can't measure it. And the Gemara says, V'hatan de Shmuel Mutter. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Gemara quotes a brisa of Shmuel. Now that's a funny statement. I'll come back to that in just a moment. What does it mean, a brisa of Shmuel? Shmuel's brisa. V'atan de Shmuel mutter. So I'm Rabbi Ashad Amar Shmuel Asa, V'atan de Shmuel mutter. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have now a disagreement between, this is going to be one of those odd machloks, I mean, you're not going to hear that often, between Shmuel and Tana de Shmuel, a brisa of Shmuel. So Shmuel himself says also, Tana de Shmuel says mutter. So what do you do? So I'm sorry. The Vatan de Bishmo Mutter. So Shmuel halach lamaisa asa lashminan. So we assume that Shmuel is coming to teach us halach lamaisa. So in other words, that even though the Brisa says it's okay, but if somebody were to go out over to him and say to him, "What should I do? What's the halacha? Can I measure?" So he would say no. Tan de Bishmuel. Let's just go back for a moment. Let's just. It's an interesting Rashi. So Rashi says, what does that mean, Tana de Shmuel, Brice of Shmuel? B'tosefta shesider Shmuel mitanaim shalafanav. So Rashi over here says, it's Toseftas, again, various statements made by Tanaim, that Shmuel composited together. Kamo shesidu Rebbe Chiv, Rebbe Oshio, kamo shesidu Rebbe as a Mishnah. Look, Rebbe, meaning Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, was responsible for the Mishnah, a collection of Tanaim that he put together for the Mishnah. That obviously has what we would say the most authority. That's what we're learning in the Bavli. The Bavli is based on, the platform of the Bavli is the Mishnah. And then we also know that Rabbi Yoshia was the Tosefta and Rabbi Chia was a Braisa. And the Gemara says, and Rashi says Shmuel did the same thing. Shmuel also made a composite of all the Tanaitic statements and he also put it together. How often is it according to the Gemara? Very infrequently, meaning we don't see it that often. But Rashi says that's how you understand the Tana de Beis Shmuel. Okay, going on in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Shonim Kemach Miyantav Mishum Rabbi Papas Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beser Amu Shonim Vishav Mishim Nafal Atoch and Tzoror Kisim Shoshonim. Okay, sifting your flour, yes or no? So debate, it's a machlokas. So the Tana Kama says that you cannot sift your flour on Yantav. Now sifting your flour, so again, this gets one, you know, this keeps coming back to one of those big questions in the Masechta, which is hard to, you know, wrap our heads around. And that is, we're talking now about a malacha anyantiv, doing a malacha anyantiv, for the purposes of ochal nefesh. So we're talking about sifting anyantiv. So again, you go back to the Tosos in the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Gimel, where Tosos says, which malachas are good, which malachas are no good. So Tosos says, well, Lisha ve'elech. In other words, only from the point of Lisha and onward. So if that Tosos, if you take that Tosos literally, so then you really lack an understanding, at least I do. You lack an understanding of what the Gemara is talking about, where there's an opinion in the Gemara, which we're going to see in just a moment, many Amoraim held of, that you can sift flour on Yantiv. Okay, so hard to understand. why it is that there would be a license to sift flour on Yontif. Okay. Now according to Rashi, okay, good. So Rashi said in the beginning of the third parak that the whole distinction between that which you can and cannot do on Yontif is that which you could have done before Yontif, you can't do on Yontif, and that you couldn't have done before Yontif, you can do on Yontif. Rashi says that's the big chiluk between those malachas you can and cannot do going into Yontif. So once again, so maybe what you would argue according to Rashi is that the sifting couldn't have been done beforehand. Maybe. Difficult to understand. I'll throw it out there. It is difficult to understand. But some Tanaim are of the opinion that you're allowed to sift on Yontif. Now to be fair, the language over here is not sifting, but shonin. And shonin kemach. So if you look at Rashi, look at the top Rashi in the Amud, what does that mean? Shirakdu me esmol. So Rashi says it was already sifted yesterday. Okay, so it was pre-sifted. And what you're doing right now is improving the quality. You sift it again, even better. In other words, you're really going to weed out all the imperfections and impurities in the flour. So you hear that in the word shonen. The word shonen means lishanot, which means to repeat. So really, this is not sifting as Rashi understands it, but this is re-sifting. So Rashi says, So Rashi says, well, you could have done it yesterday, and that's why you can't do it today. Okay, good. Rashi is consistent, meaning this is exactly what Rashi taught us in the beginning of the third parak. Anything that I could have done beforehand, so I can't do on Yontif itself. Good.
If you were sifted, like, improve the food, then it should be allowed.
Should
be worse than...
Right, but again, according to Rashi, if I could have done it yesterday, so then I should have done it yesterday.
But you can argue that maybe it's
you for sure can argue it. Good. But then, right, then it's a little bit difficult because then there's another sheet in the Braisa, the other sheet in the Braisa, Rabbi Papias, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra says, yeah, shonen, that you can do it. So according to Rashi, why? Meaning if it's something you could have done beforehand, so why are you allowed to do it? So Rashi writes, just read the Rashi together, Rashi says, second line down, the leketircha, the davar hanirahu shezuhi pamshniya, the ainzek kemaraki livror. It's, in other words, you look at the flour has already been sifted. This is not borer, because it's already been sifted. I'm just re-sifting, and therefore it's okay. All right, so...
what's the purpose of re-sifting, just to make the
make it a little bit better, finer?
It loosens up the...
Okay. All right. Anyway, so, and there's a point of agreement, meaning, so if they disagree regarding the re-sifting, however, a stone goes into the flour... you don't want the flour in the bread. That would be very uncomfortable. If you're having a guest take a bite out of the bread and biting into a stone, you could pick the stone right out. Good. Tanitana comes to Ravina. The Gemara quotes the bites in front of Ravina. Ain shonen kemach b'yamtav. You can't resift on yamtav. Aval nafat soro kisem bora biyado. But if there's a stone that falls in, you can pick it right out with your hand. Am le koshik and dasa davale kabarer. So Ravina's response to that is, really, that's okay? That shouldn't be okay. Right? That's borer. Meaning, as Rashi points out, borer is an av malacha. It's harkada, v'hashonin amirakish harinir shakol yotze v'ein kansubin. Okay. So, darash rava baravuna zute apischa denarda shonin kemach miyomtov. Now the Amoraim are going to take positions on the matter. So the Gemara starts off with rava baravuna. And he says, while at the entrance of Naharda, shonen kemach miyantiv, you could re-sift flour on yantiv. So Amalei Rav Nachman Pukav Amalei LaAba. So Rav Nachman says, you know what? Go tell Abba, right, a term of respect and endearment. Shkilati v'sach v'shad achzarei. Now, when Rav Nachman says, here's what I want you to go say, even if it's in Aramaic, and we don't fully understand it, but we kind of get it. Meaning, Rav Nachman says, no, thank you. Meaning, no need for him to have said that. That wasn't such a major statement. Literally, the words mean, let's see if we can try to understand it. Shkili tivasech, take that which you thought was good, and shadeh achuzeh, and throw it right onto the thorns. In other words... look, you came in here and you said that sifting, that re-sifting is okay, and you think that was a big heter. It wasn't such a big heter. So the Gemara says, well, go around Naharda, on Yontif, and you'll see everyone sifting on Yontif or re-sifting on Yontif. So the truth of the matter is that, okay, that wasn't a big statement. The wife of Rav Yosef, so she sifted flour, and she did so on agaba de mahulta, on the back of the sieve. Meaning, she took her sifter, she turned it upside down, and she did a little bit of a shinui. She did a small change in order to show everyone that it's okay, but only with a shinui. So Amalei Chazi Daga Rifta Mal Yasa Beina. So the Gemara says, the Ana Rifta Mal Yasa Beina. I want good bread, and so therefore I allow her to sift it, and with a small shinui it would be okay. The Vasayu de Rav Ashi Nahalakim Kagave Tipetura. So the wife of Rav Ashi, so she sifted, and she did so on the back of the table. Meaning, or I should say rather, right on the table. Meaning that, instead of usually you sift into a bowl, so in other words, the flour is now collected in a bowl, but what she did, as a small shinui, is that she sifted directly onto the table in order to do, again, a small shinui. Rashi over here says, Agabat Petura Achore HaShochan. Sounds like from Rashi, they turned the table upside down. Okay, either way, from Rashi it sounds like a really big shinui, but either way, again, the wives were sifting, or let's say re-sifting, on Yontif, but with a shinui. Amar Rav Ashi Hadidan Barte de Rami Bar Chama, so Rav Ashi says, look, she is the daughter of Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama, very careful about the way he performed his halacha. Rashi says, medaktik b'ma'asav. So the ilav dechazim ebeinas lo hava avda. And obviously she got that from home. Meaning the minute of sifting in Anyantav, re-sifting Anyantav, she saw that in her house, she did it, like her father did it. If her father did it, it certainly must be mutter. Okay, so it sounds like from the Gemara, that sifting Anyantav, re-sifting Anyantav would be fine. As long as you use a small shinui. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is like that. In other words, you want to re-sift on Yantav, you're allowed to do that, says the Shulchan Aruch, but with a small shinui, meaning top of the table, not into a bowl. Okay, how about sifting for the first time on Yantav? That's a debate, a major debate amongst the poskim. We're going to go on. Okay, so you want eggs. Okay, happens. Anyantiv, right? Especially the wife of the house runs out of eggs. She runs over to the neighbor. So she says, "Give me eggs. Right? Let me borrow eggs." Right? The borrowing of the eggs is always the funniest way to say it. You're not borrowing the eggs. You'll pay them back. But in other words, fine. But anyway, tainli beitzim vegozim b'minyan. Sorry. So you can ask for the number of eggs. In other words, you don't have to be vague. You don't have to say, give me an assortment of eggs, but you can actually ask for a number. That's not commercial activity. Once again, we're back on the issue of commercial activity. You're allowed to do transactions on Yontif, but you cannot commercialize those transactions. It has to be with discretion. So asking for 4 eggs is not commercialized. That's considered fine. That's Hamish, if you will. In fact, the Mishnah says it's Hamish. The Mishnah says the Balabatim do it. So in other words, so that's not a violation of Yontif by asking for the number of eggs. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Perek ends off with this Braisa. A person can go to the shepherd and ask for a sheep or for a goat. Other way around. You can go to the butcher and you can ask for a leg, a thigh. Eitzol patam aragolatzol v'armalei tenli tor echad ugozal echad. You can go to the bird, whatever, an aviary, and you could say, I'll take a dove, I'll take another type of bird, pigeon. Eitzol nachtam aragolatzol v'armalei tenli kikar echad ugluska echad. Give me kikar ugluska. Ve'eitzol chenvane aragolatzol v'armalei tenli esrim beitzim uchamishim egozim. In other words, you can ask for the number of eggs or fruit by actual number. But don't go over the entire skum. Rashi skum mida kavo kabayim. Don't talk in measurement amounts. You can ask for 5 eggs, but don't say, give me a quart of eggs. Okay, I know people don't talk like that, but fine. Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar omer vavashalo yaskir lo skum mekach. And don't mention the dollar amount. Already we've heard this a number of times, this idea of not mentioning the dollar amount. Okay. Interesting. The share with you one Tosfos, and then we're going to start the new perek, and that is the following. When it came time for the woman making dough on Yontev, so she can measure. And one of the arguments in terms of why she can measure is because she has to know how much challah to take off. Very good. Well, aside from, correct, correct. And also, in other words, the mitzvah of challah requires, the chachamim demanded that we take off a 24th, meaning a 4% approximately. So therefore, with that, she has justification to measure, so that she'll know how much is actually in there.
Also, to know if she's higher or not.
Also true. Fine. What about nowadays? Meaning, nowadays, so we take off challah, but we only take off a small bit. We don't take off a 24th of our dough. And the reason why is very simple. Because we're not giving it to a kohen nowadays. A, we're not really sure who are kohanim and who are not kohanim. No offense. Okay, take offense. The Gura, everyone knows, it's a famous story, I've said it already a number of times. The Gura, every time he would meet a new Kohen in life, so he would give another 5 salim in order to fulfill the mitzvah pidyon haben. With the uncertainty, he's not sure that the previous, however many Kohanim he gave 5 salim for, so every time he met a new Kohen, would give an additional 5 salim to that Kohen because of the suffix. And then the story goes, and I don't know what to make of it, but this is the way I heard the story, until he met a Kohen by the name of Rappaport. So Rappaport is a name of Kohanim, and for some reason he felt that this particular Rappaport was a Miyuchas, and therefore once he gave him 5 slime, he stopped. Okay, that's... Anyway, so number one, the Kohanim are, we don't know who are Kohanim, and on top of that, number two, and really probably should put it back to number one, but the other reason, of course, is that the Kohanim now, Bizmanenu, is not in a state of Tahara, the dough is not in the state of Tahara, and Challah, just like Truma, can only be eaten B'Tahara. So we don't give the Challah to the Kohen nowadays. So what do? We take a small piece off, we burn it, and that's it. And that's what we do with the Challah nowadays. So now, Tosus is wondering, Bizmanenu, where we don't need to take off challah, a 24th of it, to give to a kohen. We don't do that, in fact. So do we have now permission to measure the amount of flour to yantiv, if we're going to be baking on yantiv, given that we don't give challah to kohanim? That's what Tosfos wonders. You can see Tosfos inside for Omer. I'm in the middle of the first Tosfos. Tosfos Shmuel Halacha. L'maisa asa l'ashminan. V'omer harav Rabbeinu Shmuel mei Eibro. I was going to say, I totally mispronounced that. I know I did. So, may Avra. Limdod. So, Toso says, even if we're going to go like Rav, which generally speaking we do, especially when it comes to Isser, which this is what we're talking about, but even if we're going to go like Rav, still Bizmanenu, you don't have a right to measure. Why not? We lose the svara of our Gemara. We're not giving it to the Kohanim. So now you lose the svara of the Gemara. So now you have no longer a right to measure the dough. So the Gemara says, okay. But the Tosfos says, but nowadays, Bizmanenu, we don't measure. And then, interesting, I'm going to read on in Tosfos. It is interesting. V'chein b'pesach nami yesh li'zahir m'lim dod b'yom tov. L'masos. V'tzarech la'asos pitos mikashir. V'lo yimdo b'mida sh'asa limdo b'chol b'tzimtzum. Ela yafchos o yosif im hamida ketana. And Tosfos says, and the same thing is true on Pesach. When you're baking your matzahs on Pesach, also Tosfos says you should be careful in terms of your... not violating the sister of measuring. Meaning, you should guesstimate, but don't measure. So just as by way of incidence, Toso says, yeah, when we're baking our matzahs on Yontif, not before Yontif, on Yontif itself, when you're baking your matzahs on Yontif, so also be careful not to measure. Okay, so so it is interesting. Toso over here is describing, the Rishonim do talk about it, baking matzahs on Pesach itself. Meaning, none of us would ever think of it. All right. None of us bake matzahs to begin with. Although I just learned yesterday, there's an oven. There's an oven in Boca. Ask me next year before Yantav. I'll tell you where to go.
To measure the matzah to know how much you have to eat, the shiur that they have the form.
Right. Right. It's a fair question.
That's why I thought you could.
Yeah. I assume the answer is yes, but it's fair. Okay.
What's the name of the malacha?
Was it the actual measuring itself? So it's not a malacha per se. It's just a right. There is mechatech. Right, which is chituch is one of the malachas on Shabbos, which is cutting something to size, but that's not
be mezik, like you're doing business.
Right,
no?
Measuring is prohibited because it's not within the spirit of Shabbos, not within the spirit of Yontif, right? Uvda the chol, if you will. Okay, but again, though, in other words, the guys the Gemara pointed out there are times when it's okay. So we're not going to say it's a malacha. We'll just simply say that generally speaking, it's prohibited, but under certain circumstances, it's fine. Okay, we begin now the fourth parak of the Masechta. We are now starting. Parak Dal, there are five parakim altogether in the Masechta, so we are very close to the end. In fact, in terms of Dapim, we're only 10 Dapim away from the end of the Masechta. Right, what is it in? Mem Aleph? No. Mem. Okay, so we're 10 blot away. And now our parak is going to be dealing with more issues of Muksa and Tircha Yisera on Yantav. That has been and will continue to be the general theme of the Masechta. So let's begin. So you're bringing jugs of wine from one place to another. So again, so carrying on Yantav is not an issue. You're allowed to carry on Yantav. There are issues of Tchom. You can't go outside of Tchom. And we'll talk more about that over the course of these last 10 blot of the Masechta. So, but this is not an issue over here as well. As Rashi points out, the first Rashi in the Perek. You're besocha Tchom. You're within Tchom. So what's the issue over here? You're schlepping. Okay, everyone understand the term? Okay, you can't schlep on Yantav. Why not? So I'll show you Rashi in just a moment. But first let me read the Mishnah. You're bringing barrels of wine from one place to another. Lo yivi en besel of a kupa. Don't bring it in a basket or a box. Ava maybe al ketefo, but rather bring it on your shoulder. O lefanav, or hold it in front of you. Okay, look at Rashi. Lo yivayim besal v'kupa, don't bring it in a basket or in a box. La se shlosh arba besoch kupa. Let's say you want to take four jugs of wine, put it in one box, v'yeseyem, and carry it. No. Mishum denira kemasa dechol. La se masa os. You schlep during the week, you don't schlep on Yantav. So in other words, it's nira ke'uvda dechol. It looks like something that you're doing during the week. It is not within the spirit of Yantiv, so therefore you're bringing your jugs of wine, so don't put four in a box and carry it that way. That's just simply not Yantiv appropriate. So therefore the Mishnah says you put it on your shoulder or you carry it in front of you. Okay, that's jugs of wine. Next in the Mishnah, if you're going to be carrying flour, or I should say, right, better, you're carrying straw. Lo yashal se kupal achol rav. Don't put the basket behind you, which I guess was the normal way of carrying the ava. Maybe you'll be ado, but carry it in your hand. Fine. So in other words, again, same basic idea when it comes to carrying of straw. Rashi, again, makes more or less the same point. Look at the last Rashi on the summer. Lahesek ola mehema. First of all, I'm carrying straw either for fuel or for my animal. Lo yashal kupal achol rav. Don't carry it behind you. Diganai yom tov. Shiniris kemiskav la malacha rabba. It looks like you're doing some heavy lifting. Malacha rabba, right? Rashi says over here, I don't think Rashi means literally a malacha. Rashi over here means malacha in the context of just, it's a lot of work. Malacha rabba, laholich lamakum rachum rachu kederachol. Or it looks like you're traveling on a long distance, even though you're not. It looks like you're traveling on a long distance. And again, they're giving the appearance off that you're doing just regular weekday activity. It's not within the spirit of Yontif. Okay, good. Last part of the Mishnah. Where are you getting the straw from? Meaning, you're getting straw on Yantav for fuel. So where are you going? So the Mishnah says, Maschilam b'arema sateven. So you can go to the arema. Okay, where is that exactly? So I don't know. I don't exactly know where it is. But if you look at the first Rashi on the Amud, we're on Lamed Amud Aleph. If you look at that first Rashi, so Rashi says, Lehesek v'afa pishalo zimna mi ba'od yom. The arema is a pile of stalks of wheat, and again, you're using it now for fuel. You're burning it. So, truth of the matter is that this arema you did not have prepared going into Yantav. V'lo haya ragul ha'asik mimenu. You don't normally go there. And the fact that the Mishnah allows us to go and take from the Arema, so our Mishnah is not subscribing to the general Muksa principle. Good. Who's the author of the Mishnah? If I stopped at this point in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is the author of our Mishnah. Okay, one of those classic machloksim that we see almost daily now in the Masechta, Rabbi Shimon leis lemuksa, Rabbi Yehuda is lemuksa. So right now, if I stopped at this point in the Mishnah, I'd say our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. But then, let's read the last four words of the Mishnah. Avalo be'etzim shebemuksa. But you can't take wood from the muksa. Okay, this took me a while to get unconfused. So let's see if I could do it quickly. Muksa over here does not mean muksa. Muksa over here means your backyard. Right, the term muksa used in the Mishnah is a reference to your backyard. You take a look at Rashi on the Mishnah. Rachva, sha'achori habatim. Your backyard in the back of your house. Kruya muksa. It's called muksa. So, al shem shehi muksa la'achor ve'ein nechnasim v'yotzim ba'tadir. It is at the back of your house. It's your backyard. Generally speaking, people are not traversing over there. V'sham nosim al eitzim v'chein v'chol davar shein dato litol atma meruba. And what do you do in the back? Storage. That's where you store things. Things that you won't use for a while. Right? If you want, if you would like, it's like the modern day garage. Okay? Uve gemara parech seifa l'resha da hashtem hashma disley moksa. Now, Rashi is going to foreshadow for us, and that is the following. I can't go to my backyard and get the wood from the backyard because I stored it over there. I put it back there for storage. So now what am I going to do? I'm going to go to the backyard and get that wood. I didn't prepare that wood for Yontif. Okay. And Rashi says now we should all be confused because the Mishnah says that when you're getting the Tevin, you can go to the Arema, even though that wasn't Muzman, it wasn't prepared before Yontif, because the Mishnah doesn't hold of Muksa. But then the Mishnah says you want to get the wood from the backyard, that you can't do because our Mishnah does hold of Muksa. So one line of Mishnah, and the Mishnah seems to be dancing at two Chasnas. And the Chasna of Rabbi Shimon and the Chasna of Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is going to obviously try to tackle that issue. We start with the Gemara Tana Imi Efshar Lashanas Mutter. Now, our Mishnah says that when you're carrying the jugs of wine, so don't carry like you normally do, but rather carry one at a time. Make a shinui. What if you can't make a shinui? So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says, look, we're talking about carrying jugs of wine on Yantiv. It's not a malacha. The issue is that it's not within the spirit of Yantiv to carry it like I knew during the week. But if there's no way to deviate from the way that I do during the week, so then it's fine. Ad kan divrei habraisa. Itzkin Rava b'mechuzah d'dar b'duch k'ladar b'ragla. So now Rava says in the town of Mechuzah, he was the Mar da'asra of the town of Mechuzah. So Rava says in the town of Mechuzah, so I'd like it if everyone carried using a shinui. And now, let's go. The shinuyim go as follows. If you carry a beducha, Rashi says, ducha, maso isha adam yachinos aktefa b'chol b'torachim balas etzos abiyamto tzorach yontav kagon. Chavis osak malei peros, you're carrying a basket of fruit. Yisine biyamtov biragla. Rashi says, what does that mean, biragla? Using a pitchfork. Ragla, I know ragla usually does not mean that. Ragla usually means your legs. But ragla over here, Rashi says, if you want to look at Rashi a little French, fork. Rashi says it. Kedarke nosei melech limkor mimnei shetzarech lishanos. So carrying it in a pitchfork is preferable than carrying it the way you normally do. So didar beragla, didar beagra. Now, if generally speaking, if you're carrying it with a pitchfork and you want to bring it on Yantif, and you want to do a shinui, do it beagra. Agra, Rashi writes, I'll just say it out, a pole suspended on two people's shoulders. Didar ba'agra lidru ba'akpa. If you generally carry something with a pole suspended on two people's shoulders, so you should do a little bit of shinui, a pole held by two people, but not placed on the shoulders. Didar ba'akpa nifra sudre lave. Now, if the wine is generally held on a pole, held by two people, so what, and now a shinui, so Rashi, I'm sorry, so the Gemara says, what do you do? Put a sheet over the top of it. Rashi says, tsnius. It just provides a little bit of modesty, good. The imlo efshar shari. And once again, if there's no change that's possible, so then it would be permitted to carry in its usual way. And then the Gemara quotes the Brisa once again. Damar mar. If you can't make any deviation, so then it would be mutter. Okay. Rashi makes an important point over here, which is the following, meaning the Gemara is insisting that if you can try to make a shinui. Rashi says, the only shinui that's acceptable is shinui lahakel. You'll see Rashi say this a couple of times throughout the course of this discussion. And that is the following. Please, anyantiv, carry it in a slightly abnormal fashion. But don't make it heavier. Meaning, on one hand, you want to be within the spirit of Yantiv, which means that I don't want to carry like I normally carry during the week. But on the other hand, if it's gonna burden me further, if making the shinui will make it harder for me, so that's not an acceptable shinui. And that's what the Gemara keeps coming on. Meaning, when Rava was making all these changes, you know, if you can normally carry it in a normal fashion, it's to carry with a pitchfork. Now, I don't fully understand, but
like a stick.
Right. In other words, right. It makes it easier. Rashi says, and he keeps saying it again and again, that's the only acceptable shinui, where by doing it in this unusual fashion, it will be either the same or easier to carry. But it's heavier to carry, so then Rashi says, that's an unacceptable shinui. And that's why the Gemara ends off by saying, and if there's no other way to do it, and Rashi says, that means, if the shinui would make it more burdensome, so then you can't do it. That's Rashi. It's an important point in just in the understanding of our Gemara. Amalei Rav Chanan bar Rava l'Rav Ashi, Amalei Rav Bana Kama Deshe l'Shinui Mishaninan b'Yuma Tama. So the Gemara has a discussion between Amarayim. Rav Chanan says to Rav Ashi, you know what the rabbis want. The rabbis want us to do a shinui on Yantav. But meanwhile, Hanan Neshe Dekam Malyan Chatzvay Maya b'Yuma Tava. Velo kemishaninan. But meanwhile, I'd like to report, I know it sounds a little bit like Lashon Hara, I'd like to report that the women of our community, when they go out to get the water from the wells or from the rivers, so they fill the jugs with water, they carry it back on Yontif, and they do no shinui. And that's wrong. Velo amrina luhu velo midi. And meanwhile, I'm also watching that the rabbis of the community are saying nothing. Okay, so how do you understand that? So Amalei Mishum Delo Efsher Hech. So Amalei Mishum Delo Efsher. So his answer is, well, in other words, again, like to do a shinui, but if no shinui is available, so then you don't do a shinui. And here, no shinui is available. Hech La V'Demalia Bechatzar Rabba Temalia Bechatzar Zuta Kamash Beilucha. So the Gemara says, well, if they're using big jugs and you want them to use now smaller jugs, so that means that they're going to have to make more trips. No good. And if they're using small jugs and then you want them to make a shinui using large jugs, well, that'll make it heavier. And as Rashi pointed out, and Rashi got it from our Gemara right here, that's also no good. Right? You can't make it heavier. So now, girsa issue is coming up. I'll try to navigate. Techasye ben chitma. What about using a wooden cover? Meaning cover it with a wooden cover. So we're going to follow the advice of the Gaon over here. We're going to skip the next four words of the Gemara. Well, to get the wooden cover on, you're going to have to tie it down. And tying down the wooden cover, sometimes it's going to slip and fall off, and you're going to pick it up and put it back on again, and re-tie it again, and you're going to be making a kesher on Yontav, and that's not acceptable. Fine, Tifer Sudri Lave. So the Gemara says, okay, well, again, why not put a sheet over the top of the water barrels? And that's a small shinui, and the Gemara earlier said that's what Rav instituted in the town of Mechuza. Zinim de mitamish bemaya v'asil l'dei schita. So the Gemara says, well, the sheet is going to get saturated with water, and you may come to ring, and you may do schita hilchach lo efshar, and therefore there's no way to do shinui. And as the Gemara Brice has said, if there's no way to do shinui, so it, under those circumstances, it would be okay. Interesting. Tosfos wonders. Previously in the Gemara, when we were carrying the wine, so the Gemara says, look, if you can't do a shinui, so throw a sheet on top. And by the water, the Gemara just got done saying, well, don't put a sheet on top of the barrels of water, because then the sheets are going to get wet, and you're going to come to do schita. So Tosfos wonders, why in the wine were we not worried about schita, and now in the Gemara right here, we're worried about schita? Tosfos gives two answers. Let's see the Tosfos inside. Zimnin, third Tosfos on the Amud. Zimnin de mitamish maya v'asi l'dei schita. Tosfos writes, v'im tamar v'hamar nifra sudre laveh v'lo chayshin l'dei schita. So he asked the question very simply. Previously by the wine, we weren't worried about schita. So one distinction Tosfos says is maybe in the case of wine, maybe the barrels were closed. And putting the sheet on top, the sheet's not going to get wet. or it's a very narrow opening on the barrel, and again, the sheet's not going to get wet. Mashain came by the water. The water was exposed, and the sheets are going to get wet. That's one possible distinction. Okay, so the or, now Tosfos is going to deal with a fundamental distinction. The od yeshlam da'achem ray b'schitas mayim de'asura mishum libon. When you are wringing water out, so you are not only separating the water from the clothing, you're also violating the isser of libon, you're washing. The imken kinafa begave maya asil de'schita ava hasam mayri b'yayin. But when it comes to wine, deschita shelo asur mishum dash. There, when you're wringing wine out, there's no libum issue because you don't launder using wine. In fact, just the opposite. You're laundering because of wine. So in other words, so there's no libum issue. And so now there's only one thing to be concerned with, and that is schita. Meaning, when it comes to water, there are two considerations. There's a schita consideration, and there's a libum consideration. But when you're just wringing wine out, so there's only one consideration, and that's schita, which is a talo dav dash.
So they are
colored. So, no, but, ma'am. Right, correct. Right, something along those lines. Let me just finish. V'im kin kinafel la'ara holech li'ibud v'lo cheshin l'schita. And, so now, good. So now when you're taking the wine out, when you're squeezing the wine out, so again, there's no libum consideration because you're not laundering. And as far as chita is concerned, well, you're not collecting that wine. That wine is going to go libud. So that's why, so Tosfos here on a fundamental level says the difference between wine versus water in terms of the consideration of chita. All right, so, okay, if you're right, so that, if you're right, then that presents a problem.
Yeah, what would it
still
do
with
the
state
if
right?
You don't
want to
save the wine?
Okay, good. All right, next. We have a Mishnah, it's coming up. It's later in our Masechta, well, a week from today. So the Mishnah says that you can't clap your hands, you can't hit your knees, and you can't dance on Yontif. Okay. Now, I know, or for that matter, right, correct, I know, and for Shabbos. Now, you'll say to me, Simchas Torah. Okay, and I'll respond. Yeah, and I don't know what to respond. No, actually, that's not true. I do. I have some responses. First of all, why not? Why can't you clap? Why can't you bang your legs? And why can't you dance on Yontif? What's wrong with dancing on Yontif? So Rashi over here writes. Rashi will write it later on as well, because Shema Yitakein Klei Shir. The Perek Mashilin. So Rashi quotes the fifth Perek of the Masechta, which we're going to see this inside. And Rashi over there writes, I think the Gemara over there says it, Shema Yitakein Kli Shir. You may come and fix your Kli Shir. Meaning that if you engage in musical activity and in dancing, so there's going to be, and one of the musical instruments breaks, so you're going to end up fixing the instrument. Now I know it's a little bit difficult to understand. You're talking about clapping your hands, right? Your hands are not going to break, and if they do, you're not going to come to fix them. So I do understand. In other words, it seems to be Gzera, where we seem to be far away from the original. Now, there's an interesting Tosfos over here, and I say interesting, I mean really interesting. So Tosfos says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fifth Tosfos down on the Amud, Tanan, Ein Matpichem, Ein Meraktim, Peresh Rashi, Shemi Yitakin Kli Shir. So the concern is that you may come to fix an instrument. It's the rabbinic concern. And then Tosfos says, Umiu Lididan Share. We allow clapping, smacking your legs, and dancing on Yontif. Didafka b'yameim shayu b'kiyam lasos klishir, shayach l'megzer. Back in those days, they were baki, meaning they knew how to make a klishir. And therefore, the clapping and dancing, all is going to lead to the building of musical instruments. Aval l'didan einanu b'kiyin lasos klishir v'lo shayach l'megzer. But we don't know how to make klishir, and therefore the gzera no longer is in force. Now you talk about a point of controversy, and it's Tosfos talking, right? We're going with the classics right now. We only go with the classics. So we're talking Tosfos, and Tosfos says, we don't have to worry about the gzera anymore, right?
There are many things
that are not by
anymore.
Okay. Right. Now, Tosfos, it obviously opens the door. This Tosfos can open up a Pandora's box. I'm not interested in opening up the Pandora's box. I try to be agenda free. I mean, I try. But this can open up a Pandora's box. Now, it happens to be that Tosfos, on occasion, to my knowledge, does say that we can dispense with some of the concerns of the Gemara. For example, Tosfos says, Mayim Megulim, water's uncovered. Tosfos says, it's okay, our waters can remain uncovered, that's fine. Mayim Achronim, after you eat, Tosfos says, okay, Mayim Achronim, nowadays we don't worry about the Melech Sodomis, and therefore we don't do my Machronim. So I could think of a number of occasions, a couple of occasions, where Tosos does just simply say, look, these are not our concerns anymore. But I understand, though, that this kind of thinking does open up a Pandora's box, and it is dangerous thinking, but it is an interesting Tosos, and based on this Tosos, one can then suggest, look, we dance on Yantav, meaning Simchas Torah, right, Minag Yisrael, the dance on Simchas Torah. Yes, they're correct. The Chassidim, you can't get them to stop dancing on Yantav and Shabbos. Look, it's okay. You need to say something. You have a Tosfos over here. Okay, I said something. Good. Yes.
Maybe it's referring to the Klei Shirim used in the Beit HaMikdash. They're not doing that.
Maybe look. Okay, could be. It could be. Right. Let's. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to our Gemara. So the Mishnah says that you can't clap and you can't say you can't smack your legs and you can't dance. The Ha'idna, that's the Mishnah. And now again, I see the Jewish people are doing it nowadays. He's talking Bizmana Gemara, obviously. And no one's saying anything. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you another rabbinic a decree that the Jewish people ignored, and that is not standing by the edge of your mavui. Your mavui is circumscribed by three walls. It opens up into Rishus Arabim. You want to carry in the mavui, you can, but only if Lechi or Korah is in the front of the mavui. Right? Let's go back to our Erevin days. We learned this at the beginning of the Masechta. What you can't do is don't sit at the edge of the mavui. Don't sit right by the Lechi, because when you're sitting there, it's hard to see the perspective of where the Mavui ends and where the Rishus HaRabim begins. So the Chachamim say, as a Gzera D'Rabbanan, don't sit there because you may move a Chafetz from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So Vahani Nashin D'Shaklen Chatzvayav Asam V'yasvan Apurim D'Mavoa V'lo Armin Elohu V'lo Midi, and yet the women blatantly disregard this rabbinic decree. So in other words, I have a rabbinic decree of not clapping and dancing on Yantav. I have another rabbinic decree of not sitting at the edge of the Mavui, and I see that the Jewish people are just ignoring these rabbinic decrees. Ella,
the worst case that he cites.
Which is, wait, one second. Ella hanach lehem liyisrael amutav shushogim v'ayu mezidim. Okay, so here the Gemara quotes classic line of the Gemara, which is, leave them alone. Don't try to correct them. Leave the Jewish people alone. Better that they're shogeg, meaning they're ignorant of the halacha, va'ayu mezidim, because I know they're not ready. They're not ready to change their ways. They're going to be obstinate on these issues. And if you try to correct them, all you're going to be doing is just informing them. And now, instead of being a shogeg, they're now going to be amazed. So hachanami hanachlam yisrael mutav shu shogeg va'ayu mezidim, and the same thing is true over here as well. Meaning, in terms of the clapping, and okay, good. So hanech lem Yisrael. Now then, the Gemara says, and I think we're going to make a distinction, or at least we're going to try to. V'hani mili b'derabanan v'abederais alav. That's only if it's an issa derabanan, where we say basically leave them alone. However, if it's a din d'araisa, so don't leave them alone, inform them. But then the Gemara says v'lohi. That was a good attempt at a distinction. The Gemara simply rejects it. It's not true. Meaning, even by an Isur D'Oraisa, if you see people violating Isur D'Oraisa and you know they're not going to change their ways, don't say anything to them. Lo shna b'D'Oraisa v'lo shna b'D'Rabbanan. It doesn't matter if it's a D'Oraisa or if it's a D'Rabbanan. Lo armin lo v'lo midi. Don't say anything. Who? And the Gemara says, and I'll give you an example. D'hato sefes Yom Kippurim D'Oraisa. Who? Because we know that there's a mitzvah D'Oraisa to add on to Yom Kippur. Meaning, the fast starts at, let's just for the purpose of simplicity say, sunset. The fast starts at sunset. Okay, so that means that I can eat until sunset. So let's say Shki is at 6 p.m., I can eat till 5:59. And even in that last minute. But meanwhile, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to add to Yom Kippur. Now, how much to add to Yom Kippur? So I don't know, and I'm in good company. Tosfos says the same thing. I also Tosfos says he doesn't know. So how much to add? I don't know. But there has to be a Hostafa. There has to be an addition. So meanwhile, the Achli v'Shasu Ad Shechashcha. And meanwhile, they eat right up until the point of Chashecha. Okay. Now I know that means night, but basically, let's say Shkia. They eat right up to Shkia. V'lamin lo v'lamin, and we don't say anything to them. So good. I mean, not good. Obviously bad. But the point is that even by the Oraisas, Hanach Lam Yisrael Mutav Shu Shogim Vayu Mizidim, so better that they should be shogging him and not be Mizidim. Okay. Rabbi Kornfeld, take a look. He writes extensively on this point of today, of the Gemara today, but he quotes the Ran, the Rush, the Bala Itter. So they all say that when our Gemara says that you see somebody doing something wrong, and you shouldn't say anything to him, and that's not only by Nisa Darabanan, that's even by Nisa Daraisa, that's only by Nisa Daraisa, that's not Mefurash Bekra. That's only when the Nisa Daraisa is not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. But if they're doing something which is explicitly mentioned in the Torah, so then you don't have this argument of Mutav Shu Shogim Vayu Mezidim. Right? In other words, then don't leave them alone. Then you should inform them, and you should try to correct them. And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Well, in other words, there are a number of Daraisas that are not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Tosefes Yom Kippur being a simple example. Okay, and then again, the lengthier discussion, which we're not going to entertain right now, is what about the mitzvah of tochacha? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to rebuke. You see somebody doing something wrong, you have to rebuke them, right? Tochech tochech atamitecha. I was going to say this week's parsha, last week's parsha. Okay, good. And so, how do you understand our Gemara within the context of tochacha? That's its own shiur. Let's finish up to the bottom of the Amud, and then good. And tomorrow we'll start with Sukkah. Okay, Amar, back to the Gemara. Umaschilim ba'aremas ha'teven. Okay, aremas ha'teven. You can take the straw for your fuel from the arema, even though it was not muzman. And the Gemara is bothered. Amar avkana zosemeres maschilim ba'utzer tchila. Mani Rabbi Shimon delesle muktza. So that line of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold of muktza. So ema seifa. And meanwhile, the very next four words of the Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda, who holds of Muksa. So, the Gemara says over here, and this is the first time, I think, the first time in the Masechta that the Gemara uses this terminology. So, really, the entire Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. Really, our Mishnah does not hold of Muksa, generally. But the wood that's described at the end of the Mishnah, that the Eitzim Shebamuksa, that's talking about male cedars, female cedars, that's the Arzi, that's the Ashuche, and they are expensive. That is a higher level of muksa. That's muksa machmas chisern kis. That's very expensive. And even Rabbi Shimon would be moded that is considered muksa. Ika demasin la sefer v'lo etzim. Shem muksa merav kahana zosem reisein machilam ba'otzer tchila. So some have another version of how to say over this Gemara. That you start by looking at the end of the Mishnah. Ein matchilam ba'otzer tchila. You don't go to the storehouse. Mani Rav Yehuda disle muksa. So our Mishnah is authored by Rav Yehuda. So what about the Reisha? I'm a Reisha. Maschilam baremas ha'teven. Aslam Rav Shimon delesle muksa. So the Gemara says, excuse me, Hasan b'tivna sarya, tivna sarya, I'm sorry, Hasan b'tivna sarya, no, that tevin over there, spoiled tevin, disgusting tevin. Rashi says, nirkav umasriach, shein raila machl behemo, stamala eitzim, v'lo la'achila, v'hainu la'otzar. And so that, I'm sorry, v'hainu, let's make that correction in Rashi, v'hainu lav la'otzar. You weren't storing that. That was meant to be used and consumed. So Tivna Sarya Hachazi Latina, the Gemara says, yeah, but aren't I going to use it for my mortar? Disle Kosan, the Gemara says, no, you're not. It's got thorns in it. You're not using it for mortar. The only thing you're using it for is fuel. So according to the second version, the entirety of our mission is going like Rav Yehuda. I going to the Arema. It's not Muksa. It was spoiled straw. Its intent was to be used for fuel. So there are two ways to say over the Mishnah. Either our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, and case two is Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis, or the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, in case number one is not mukta at all because it's spoiled straw. Adkan. Stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Amud Beis.